Immediately after the close of that first meeting, Kai was ushered into another, with the Moscow Confederation's Assistant Minister for Military Deployment, Omar Edgerton, and several high-ranking members of their military establishment. Edgerton introduced her to Admiral Fossey, in charge of system defense, Admiral Handlin, in charge of defense forces near Cascadia, and Admiral Trey, in charge of strategic planning. All were a head taller than Kai and decades older. She registered the moment of disbelief and then the courteous recovery. She also met Commander Dowich, head of the military construction and repair yard in orbit around Cascadia, Commander Bellis of Oak Squadron, Commander Corleone of Pine Squadron. Kai wondered how the spacefaring culture that had settled Moscow system had ever become so fixated on trees. Not that there was anything wrong with trees. Commander Dowich didn't wait for the meeting to convene.
Admiral Vada, delighted to meet you. You've been in touch with us about the availability of modular combat command centers.
Yes, we have, and received the details shortly before docking here. I have a few questions, but this may not be the time.
Kai glanced up the table at Fossey and Edgerton, who looked a little annoyed.
Now that the government's decided to commit to alliance with Slaughter Key, and you're designated to command the Slaughter Key ships, we have to figure out how to work with you.
Though our agenda's fairly fluid and dependent on you.
Kai wondered if it would be discourteous to ask if this meant the government was committing actual ships to the cause, and decided it probably would be. After a long moment of silence, she realized they were waiting for her to make a start.
As you know, I just arrived today, and just got out of a meeting with your government. So I'd like to hear what ideas and questions you have for me before we start on mine for you.
Kai nodded at Commander Bellis.
Do you have any idea where Turek will strike next? Or what kinds of targets he's after?
Our group thinks he'll go after shipyards manufacturing large warships, Commander. The Bissonnette yards, which he captured along with much of their fleet, are tooled for smaller ships. They can build only a few large ones at a time. In several encounters, we've seen nothing larger than a Bissonnette cruiser. In fact, they were Bissonnette cruisers. We're also concerned that Turek may now have accumulated enough capital to simply order ships built for his force.
Surely no one would build ships for a pirate.
For money, Kai knew, some people would braid a noose for their own necks.
Molly, you should see the things I get in from contractors. Some people have never grasped that if you cheat your protection, you don't have protection. I'm sure that somewhere in the universe, some profit-mad shipbuilder is quite willing to supply the means of his own destruction.
Turek could be ordering ships through governments sympathetic to him in some way.
Why would anyone be sympathetic to him?
Mackenzie, the mercenary company, pointed out that there's been a resurgence of anti-Humod sentiment and violence in a number of systems. It's a minority, but a fervent and sometimes militant minority. The intel you shared with me and the briefings you sent before we landed showed that the man you believe was Turek's local agent held memberships in several anti-Humod organizations. Gretna, where we're sure Turek had dealings, is a vehemently anti-Humod society, to the point that they refused basic assistance to a ship full of refugees, all Humods, from one of Turek's attacks. And though we think he attacked Polson because of its six-vector jump point, he was particularly brutal to the population, killing everyone who could not cram into one of the few ships to escape. Polson's entire population were high mod.
What does he have against Humods?
I have no idea. I'm not even sure that he personally does. But anti-Humods are a minority group that he might have targeted as potential allies. We expect he's also made contact with or taken over some traditional criminal organizations.
Kai waited for comments. None came.
We started compiling a list of construction yards that build large warships. I'm sure you know there aren't very many. And the next step, now that we're here, is to contact those whose ansibles are still working and find out if they've had orders for new ships or have ships in storage.
Edgerton looked at Commander Dowich.
Ben, what's your take on this?
Moray's the nearest big yard to us. Their ansibles still up and I have a contact there. What specifically do you want to know?
Have they had orders for large warships in the past, oh, say 3 years, or orders from governments or systems they know are anti-Humod? Religious or secular, doesn't matter.
Religious would be like the Miznarii, right? Think given implants or modifications some deity wouldn't like?
That's one. My understanding is there's a range of strictness about it, and different groups have different names. They're all concerned with the purity of the human race, though. Whatever they mean by that.
I'll call them as soon as we're done here.
One thing we would like from you is your analysis of the tactical and strategic implications of these new Ansibles. My staff have worked on that, but we have no experience, and yours would be most helpful.
Kai handed around the data cubes she'd brought.
We have experience only with the older type, the ones the pirates are using. Those communicate only from unit to unit. The ones my cousin Toby invented also communicate with system Ansibles. Here are some post-battle analyses of our two most recent actions.
Is there any communication while in FTL flight?
No, but you can communicate immediately after downjump. There's no waiting, as there is with scan, for the signal to clear. As you've probably realized, instantaneous communication, ship to ship, greatly improves command and control before and during combat. Your ships can be more dispersed, and yet fully aware of one another's position and movement.
Is the discrepancy between communication and scan distracting?
It was, until we figured out how to display the scan data from one ship on another.
Kai saw confusion on their faces.
We don't have the right setup, but it works like this. A ship 2 light hours there,
she pointed down the table,
can load its current scan data for transmission by onboard Ansible to a ship here.
She pointed to herself.
So, if I have a spare screen hooked up, I can see that ship's scan data in real time on my ship.
So, in effect, you can make scan instantaneous as well.
Only if you have a source with minimal light lag near what you want to scan. I imagine with a sufficiently large AI and the right software, with enough data sources, you could form a near real-time integrated model of a battle area.
I still see the potential for a lot of confusion.
Turek is using stealthed observer ships. We captured one with most of its electronics intact. Apparently, he's using something like this, but with only a few data sources, the observer ship itself and one or two of his warships. I'm not sure if the AI is capable of really complex modeling, but it can receive and send scan data from multiple sources and make at least a crude model. You'll see the effect of that in the box top battle on those cubes.
No, we had not thought of that approach. I think we could break for an hour. Give me a chance to ping R&D and Ben to send a message to Moray.
Fine. And we might also let Admiral Vada arrange what she needs with Commander Dowich.
Kai sensed that some resistance had given way, though she could not tell what had done it.
I've looked at the design data you sent me.
Commander Dowich lit a display, and Vanguard's schematics came up.
Now, the only place we can put the CCC module, our smallest, is here.
He pointed to the aft starboard cargo bay in the original plan, now occupied by the starboard weapons bay and munitions storage and the firing range.
All that? It must have room for 20 people.
No, Admiral, only half a dozen, and it's cramped inside. Some of the gear you need in there is bulky, and it's built with hull-grade bulkheads. It's completely self-contained, with its own limited life support, so if the ship's damaged, you still have functionality. Now, originally, these were designed as command centers for automated in-system supply convoys. One ship would run up to 3 others, so it was essential that if the ship it was on took damage, the AI could still control the others.
But that takes out my aft battery on that side. I was hoping you could fit it into my office and stateroom area.
Not a hope, I'm sorry. Even for the 40 or so ships you'll have on your first cruise, you'll need a lot of gear. You'll have not only a mirror of the sensor suite on Vanguard, but Ansible-boosted mirrors of others, direct to you, no waiting. Well, direct to your scan crew, 3 of them. Now, the command unit, your command seat, is again self-contained. Should something breach the CCC, you'll have at least 24 hours of life support. Now, full displays mirrored there as HUDs, tunable with your implant once we install the software.
I see.
We can make larger ones, but ideally a CCC for the large fleet would be built in from the beginning, designed in. And that may be what Turek would find most useful in a purpose-built warship.
How soon can you start, and how long does it take?
As soon as you clear whatever you need and find quarters here, we can move her over and get to work. Maybe 20 days, if we're lucky. 30 otherwise.
Turek's not going to sit still and do nothing for 30 days.
Dowich opened his mouth, but didn't say anything.
I know. It's not your fault. That is fast. We just have to hope that he doesn't hit here. I'll tell my people to pack up. Do you need them all off?
No, only anyone who bunks in that area and anyone you want here. The Yard has basic support, and we can use the extra help as well.
Thanks, Commander. I'll send for my things right away, and I'll have Hugh Pratang contact you when the ship's clear.